This is Ant-Man, and it's time for Ant-Man's RVM 4x4 show here on the Voice of the Yarra Valley. And obviously, I missed last week, which I thought I might do because we had some duties running around getting parents to and from hospitals and things like that. So we're back into it today. I've got Jason Locke in with me today, four-wheel drive guru, caravanning guru, who's been around the scene for, well, as long as I have, if not longer. So we will get straight into station sponsor. We'll get into Steppenwolf, Born to be Wild, and head the show off. And we will be talking a bit about the Black Saturday anniversary and sort of putting a few things out there about how much the four-wheel drive community has helped and what friends and family and what people are still going through. So we've got a bit of an interesting show for you today. But anyway, let's get into it and get Ant-Man's RVM 4x4 show up and running.
ARB 4x4 Accessories is a proud sponsor of Ant-Man's RV and 4x4 show and a station sponsor. Whether it be frontal protection, a draw system to increase storage, or a recovery kit to ensure you don't get stuck in the bush without a way out, head to ARB today to ensure you're ready for whatever our harsh Aussie terrain will throw your way. Visit arb.com.au to explore the products that are right for you or find your closest ARB store or stockist.
Yeah.
Here we go, Ant-Man's RV and 4x4 show here on Yarra Valley FM, the voice of the valley. My guest today is Jason Locke. How you going, bud?
I'm going awesome, man. Thanks for having me in again.
Well, it's good. It's been a while. It's been a long time, actually. And there's been a lot of stuff going on. I know you've been all over the country and doing different launches for different products and helping people out.
Never a dull moment, is there? You know? Try and live your life and have fun and try and get a little bit of money for it as well.
Well, that's it. It's a lifestyle, isn't it?
Definitely.
It's like working here at the station. I love what we do, but it's a lifestyle choice. Volunteer lifestyle choice. But you know, looking pretty fab, looking after the body there.
Yeah, down 50 kilos since the first time I'm on. So, you know, it's half of me here almost.
Yeah, no, that's good. Well done. I think it's a good thing. It's big lifestyle choice, that one too, really.
It is, and it makes my life doing caravanning and four-wheel driving and doing all of that, spending time with the kids, makes it a lot easier not carrying two bags of cement around.
That's right. I hadn't thought about it like that, but, you know, a couple of spare tyres.
Yeah,
so. Yeah, well, maybe you've got to inspire me to get off my butt and do a bit more.
Okay. Sounds like a good plan.
I know what causes mine. A love of good food and a love of drink and a love of, being lazy sometimes, although I say I'm lazy, but I'm not really. There's a lot of stuff going on.
Oh, it's hard. You're busy. It's a busy lifestyle getting around what we've done over the years, you know, journalists or being a rep on the road, doing all that stuff too. It's not the most conducive lifestyle to... living well, you know, we should be hitching our caravans and going around and doing a bit more leisurely rather than running around against the clock.
Well, that's it. I mean, you know, somebody said, oh, I'd like to come over on Sunday and do some work. And I said, well, that's all well and good, except I'll be leaving home at, you know, 6:30. I'm up to Shepparton. I'll be working in Shepparton all day and then back home again on the same night. You know, it's just what you've got to do.
It happens. It's what we've got to do, unfortunately. But we get to see a lot of good things and we still experience a lot of things. But number one, we've got to look after ourselves.
Exactly. I think that's the main thing we've got to do. And looking after ourselves is probably a good segue into talking about today's topic, which is the 10th anniversary of the Black Saturday fires. It's pretty massive. We were talking before the show and we've both been impacted. We've both lost friends. We've both lost, you know, people we know apart from friends in all different aspects of the fires. So, you know, I know people in Murrindindi, up at Kinglake, out at Marysville.
Yeah, Narbathong and a lot of the other places, a lot of the smaller places that you didn't hear about as much on the news, you know. Mm. Yeah, even in the Strathcreek, everything going into there,
well,
too.
Strathewan, yeah. And, yeah.
Yeah, all, you know, all of those, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it's amazing, and I think probably... one of the most amazing things. I mean, you know Macca, Anthony Macca McDonald, and he was on ABC last night talking, and it's cost them a lot. It's cost him and his ex a lot, and it's cost a lot of their friends, you know, because they knew that, you know, their neighbours were unfortunately passed away and all the rest of it. And, you know, he's always been very frank and upfront in the way he's talked about it. Mm. And as a bloke, he's always sort of advocated that guys should be getting help when they need it, you know, mental health, physical health, that sort of thing. And, you know, he went through the talk last night on the ABC and, you know, I don't profess to know Macca super well. I've known him for a long time, obviously. Mm. But, you know, it's interesting that he made a comment on Facebook afterwards that it was tough. And I think there are still a lot of people doing it very, very tough out there.
There definitely is. And there's a lot of people in, you know, both our friendship groups out there and in the wider four-wheel drive community and caravanning community. And a lot of people are up there during the fires and they were fighting to, you know, save people's property up there, lives, and the impact on them. You know, my best man, a mechanic up at Narbathong, you know, he saved, you know, he's... been the captain of the CFA up there, been through lots of things and, you know, lost basically everything he owned other than his car and what he was standing up in, you know. Mm. And just the impact on him, and I've seen that, you know, and the rest of the community up there, and, you know, a lot of other friends we've had in here as well, and the volunteers, you know. Our friend Jim Kennedy is up at the Black Spur pub up at Narbathong,
yep.
You know.
Jim's been in on the show before.
Jim's been on the show, yeah. You know, long time four-wheel driver, been around a lot longer than you and I.
Mm.
You know, and what they've had to rebuild and do, and they didn't lose, you know, much, but what's happened in the community around them and what they've done to keep the community together is pretty good. But, you know, that onto the mental health side of the things, and, you know, Mac has worn his heart on his sleeve, you know, done out there, and, you know, all for the bloke sheds and blokes talking about that, which is awesome and getting it out there. But, you know, what these guys have been through, and a lot of people we know, you know, they're, you know, tough and might not show it on the outside, but, you know, they're hurting on the inside and they're a different person after, you know, over those 10 years.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, one of my things is really is men's health. I'm a very strong advocate for it and, you know, recognising where I've come from in my life, which is not all been great, but the understanding that there are still a lot of people hurting out there, and I would be saying to anyone that's listening, you know, if you need help, there are lots of places that you can get help, and it's not a sign of weakness to seek out, you know, whether it's Lifeline or Beyond Blue or, you know, your local doctor. Start with your local doctor and stuff like that. It's not a sign of weakness. It's actually a sign of strength, I believe, that you're actually going and saying, no, I've got to deal with this.
It's, you know, hard as men, you know, it's always been a bit of a stigma or anything like that on there too. Mm. And you listen to all that, you know, there's ads everywhere and it's all out there. It's okay. You need to talk and get it out. You know, talk to your mates. You know, go and do that. And a lot of people aren't equipped to help you with that, and you're going to seek that professional help. But, you know, that major stress we've seen on people, and, you know, through the things and things they're still going through. You know, 10 years on, they're still trying to rebuild their lives, and, you know, you know, while there might be new buildings and new things there, a lot of people are still suffering out there.
Yeah, and again, it comes from the inside out rather than the outside in. One of the interesting correlations that I don't think has been proven in any sort of medical science, but a lot of the people I know, including, you know, Jeff Portman, who was on the show, who you know, but, you know, we spent a bit of time in the early years with him. He was on the show and he was talking about his cancer, and other friends of mine that I know from Marysville, he got cancer and she got cancer. And I think a lot of people don't realise sometimes that you may or may not have a DNA that has a cancer in it, but the stress and the constant stress and the feelings and the emotions that are bottled up triggers that cancer to come alive. And I think there are so many people I know personally, I'm not, you know, making it up as a bigger thing, but certainly people I know personally that have got forms of cancer since the fires have been amazing.
Just the stress levels and everything, and you're down and you're knocked about with that, and just on top of that, it's, you know, unfortunately, what seems to happen to the human body, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, as much as we say we're tough, we're only 7 layers of skin, and they're not very thick layers, and that's mentally, we're never equipped to deal with half the stuff that we do. And I just think it's amazing. I can still remember what I was doing on Black Saturday, and I can still remember seeing the news, and then trying to track down friends of mine, and then finding out that they'd passed away in the fires, and then, you know, worrying about Jane's cousin and family because they lost everything, managed to get out. I mean, he drove out of his driveway. He could have turned left or right. He turned left and got out safely. If he turned right, he would have passed away. And the whole family, you know. Yeah. And they don't talk about it very much, and he's very much blokey. But but I guess, you know, we're having this discussion for everyone out there in listener land is really, I guess, very respectful of what people have gone through. No one will ever truly know and what it's like, but regardless, you know, your mental health, your physical health just gets impacted by it. I mean, I think even hearing some of the people's amazing, amazing survival stories, and a good friend of the family managed to drive out and drove into the front of the Kinglake shops, actually hit the building on his way out, but you know, he was so badly scarred from burnt glass that exploded in his windscreen, and he sat on it and all the rest of it. And you know, when he was telling me about that, and we were up there at his place looking at what was left, and he was just so hard, matter of fact.
Yeah.
And you know, because what else is he supposed to do? And he said, you know, I was standing over there when it was on fire, and I got to the car here, turned around, and the whole place was on fire. And there are so many stories like that out there.
Oh, it's definitely. And standing around, and you know, standing in the mate's property where his shed was, and everything was there, and then the house next to it's probably 100 metres away on a, you know, little farmlet property. There's not a mark on it. And you know, his old 40 series Land Cruiser was sitting there. Hardly looked anything wrong with it, and then everything else was gone.
Yeah.
You know, the gas bottles for the welding, you know, that was one of the hardest things for him. You know, they ring up, they wanted the bottles back, you know, to try and get the deposit off his account. And you go, the bottles had imploded. There's nothing left of the bottles, you know. And there's, you know, there's someone in a call centre going, where are those bottles? We need that for the deposit back, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, some of the bureaucratic stuff, you know, going through there too, you know, it's just been crazy. And there's a lot of people who haven't rebuilt there. They've had to buy other properties, you know. It's had a lot of impact on them.
Yeah, well, I think that's that really is the impact is just massive. So, yeah, it does. I don't think we'll ever forget it, and I don't think people should forget it. And it's, you know, it's like whether it's one of the world wars or whatever, when there's such a tragic loss of life and, you know, things are out of your control, you know, I think we should be always be respectful and not forget it and remember the people that we knew and that laughed and, you know, worked with and all the rest of it, because the fact is everyone's alive now and they've got to get on with their life and look after themselves, and hopefully that's what people are doing out there. And again, you know, I can't stress enough, if you are having weird thoughts and you're not feeling quite right, either mentally or physically, please, please, please go and seek some help, because, yeah, life's too precious. You know, too many good things to see and do still, and we want to make sure people understand that and get help if you need it. You know, it's like we said before, it's strong. It's a strength to step out of the fear, the pain, the bad feelings, the emotions. It's strong to step out and get help.
Definitely, Ant.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing. All right, we're going to play a few bits and pieces for station stuff, so for cues, and then we're going to do a bit of Rick Springfield, Jesse's Girl, and we'll be back for a bit of a chat after that.
Jesse is a friend. Yeah, I know he's been a good friend of mine. But lately something's changed, it ain't hard to define. Jesse's got himself a girl and I wanna make her mine. And she's watching him with those eyes, and she's loving with that body, I just know it. And he's holding her in his arms late at night. You know I wish that I had Jesse's girl. I wish that I had Jesse's girl. Where can I find a woman like that? I'll play along with the charade. Change. You know, I feel so dirty when they start talking cute. I wanna tell her that I love her, but the point is probably moot. Cause she's watching him with those eyes, and she's loving him with that body, I just know it. And he's holding her in his arms late at night. You know, I wish that I had Jesse's girl. I wish that I had Jesse's girl. Thank you.
40 Wings Turnside Park is having a stock take sale. Save up to 50% store-wide on leading brand mattresses, including King Coil Chiropractic, Crown Posture, and the exciting new range of Silent Partner Back Care Sleep Systems, as well as bedroom furniture. Don't miss the savings, but only for a limited time. So come and see us at 40 Winks in the Homemaker Centre at 282 Maroondah Highway, Churnside Park. 40 Winks, serious about sleep. Station sponsor.
Station sponsor Healesville Garden Supplies is now taking orders for Valentine's Day. Come in store to see Carolyn, our fully qualified florist, for your Valentine's Day orders of flower arrangements, chocolates, teddies, and even a beautifully wrapped plant from our flourishing nursery. Healesville Garden Supplies is located at 82 Maroondah Highway, Healesville. Give us a call on 5962 5054 or find us on the web at healesvillegardensupplies.com.au.
Harvey Norman Churnside Park, your cooling specialist. The best air conditioning deals on all the best brands. Deals like Rinnai split system air conditioners from only $599. We can even arrange installation. 18 months interest free on air conditioning. No deposit, no interest and no payments. Approved applicants only. Minimum finance amount $500. Interest applies if you do not comply with terms and conditions. Fees and exclusions apply. See website for details. Massive range, the latest models, the convenience of portable ACs and fans to suit every need. Now at station sponsor Harvey Norman Churnside Park. Go!
Aurum Aged Care at Healesville is a modern, comfortable care home providing 24-hour nursing care for aged care residents. Aurum Healesville offers a wide range of lifestyle activities to suit everyone, and their seasonal food menus are cooked fresh on-site every day. Aurum Healesville also provides specialised dementia care in a dedicated memory support community within the care home. You're welcome to enjoy a coffee with the team whilst experiencing firsthand everything that Aurum Aged Care at Healesville has to offer. Call 1-800-287-786 to book a tour. Also on the web at aurum.com.au. Station sponsor.
And it's 2:30 and it's Ant-Man's RVM 4x4 show, and we're with Jason Locke, and we're the voice of the valley. Any more ends we should throw in there?
Oh, any end we can get in. Good end, isn't it?
Yeah. Good end. So I think one of the interesting things, and you brought this up, was talking about the amount of work that the four-wheel drive clubs actually do out there in the community, not just at Black Saturday, but other times as well, because a lot of problems occurred because tracks weren't cleared and all that sort of stuff, and you need to have access tracks and bits and pieces.
And definitely, we've seen a lot of that too, and I guess we've been spoiled in Victoria with Four-Wheel Drive Victoria, led by Wayne Heavey, who's been on the show a few times.
Yes.
A good mate of ours, and we've both been involved with the Four-Wheel Drive clubs and in the association over a number of years, and just the good that's done, and we've seen a lot of that, fires around Sydney because the tracks weren't cleared, because the four-wheel drivers, we go in, especially the club people, but general four-wheel drivers, we're actually really good on the environment and what we do there,
It's like anything, the odd rotten egg every now and again, but for the most part,
the one that makes the bad noise and everything else like that, but, keeping the tracks open, because we get down there and, you clear the trees, chainsaw in or, clear tracks, and we go in and help with the management of the forest, go in there to clear tracks and keep everything open, so then you can get a fire truck down the road. There's nothing worse than coming across a, you're going to fight a fire and there's trees down and everything's on fire. And I've been lucky. I do a lot of driver training for commercial as well as private, and one of that's training the new firefighters how to drive through the bush and being risk assessment of how to get out of the way of a fire.
Yeah.
And which way you have the car pointing, the truck or the car pointing to get out, how to drive, and it's a pretty stressful situation, with this flames or trees coming down or anything else like that too. Mm. And it's just thinking of your exit plans, and a lot was made of that, and we've spoken about that, and we've both got friends that have, if they had to turn right instead of left out their driveway, they wouldn't be our friends out there anymore.
Exactly. And I think too, and you're talking, and I'm just remembering that when I was up north, heading up towards Byron Bay one point, and with Terry, and it was actually on our way back, and there was a big fire going on through central New South Wales, and there was a guy standing there. He'd parked the car on the left side of the road. The right side was burning away. And he had his kid out there, and the mum was doing the photography, and the kid was screaming because, you know, there's flames 20 foot in the air, and they think, oh, this is going to make a good photo. I just wonder at people sometimes.
Yeah, art's not worth life, is it?
You know, and
the risk you take when doing that too. And, you know, speaking before the show, when we caught up for lunch before the show, my four-wheel drive club, we went into Narbathong. We were the first people in there besides officials the Sunday night, the week after the fire, so eight days after Black Saturday. We couldn't go in the normal roads. We had to go around up through Alex and back down. Everything was still on fire. You know, there's police lines. We had to, you know, talk our way to get through. And it was just, you know, it was just a massive amount of confusion up there. Didn't know what to find, but just seeing the stuff still on fire and smouldering, and, you know, roads you've driven down, you know, 1,000 times in the past, and there's just all the tree coverage is gone. And, you know, you go out there, you know, even now I go to, Valley Farm, which is a popular property been used for four-wheel drive events for the last 50-odd years. You go there, the noise from the Maroondah Highway, you never used to hear things or see cars going down there because of this thick forest that was between you and the road, And now you still see things and it's different and the noise has changed.
Yeah, I think that there's so many little aspects with that. But, you know, getting around... we were caught up in a roadblock down in South Gippsland, and we'd been on Haunted Stream Track, and it had been hot. Yes, we're out four-wheel driving. Yeah, that's fine. There was the fires were way north of where we were, and overnight, and this is how quickly it can move. Overnight, that the fires turned around. Of course, we don't have the information that we do now. Like if there's a positive out of Black Saturday, it's the communications via phone messages and via radio, and everything has just, it's just ramped up like 1,000%, and it's so much better.
The alerts and everything else like that too. And I guess if we look in our, me being in my mid-40s, going back, and, you know, we were kids when it was, you know, Ash Wednesday, 83.
Yes.
So
yep.
I remember being in a swimming pool in Melbourne and watching the smoke come across, you know?
Well, I was working when that happened, because I am a little bit older than you. I remember that very vividly. And the smoke and the haze and the dust storm and the stuff that went on, and, you know, I was mechanicking, and it was, you know, it was so hot and dry. But and what we were saying about the way that the fire was moving with the alerts and all the rest of it, but Mark and Denny ended up going through a police block and saying to them, we know where they're camped. We're going in there. We've got to get them out, because they have no idea that there's this fire coming down on them. And what had happened overnight, the wind had totally turned around and was blowing the fire towards us at a great rate of knots. And I woke up, it was dark, to the sound of the horn bipping. So they were actually coming in on their horn to get our attention. And so when I woke up, though, the whole top of the swag, all the cars were covered in ash. We had no idea. You know, it was just dribbling down around us. So... you know, it's you just got to be so careful, but that's how quickly things can go from, you're having a fun time driving Haunted Stream, which is a beautiful track, to suddenly you've got ash falling all over the place and it's black, you've got friends that have come in to get you out and all that sort of stuff. It's very full on.
And unfortunately, Black Saturday, it was that perfect storm, it wasn't with the wind direction, the temperatures and...
everything.
Everything that had happened, but also the amount of... foliage that's around on the ground, and just look at the amount of fossil fuel that was down there to do that too. And I'm very worried looking at things again now as I'm getting around there now. I think, you know, a lot of people can be a bit complacent about it now, you know.
Yeah.
You know, 10 years on, you have a look at the how dense a lot of the undergrowth is and stuff around there too. And I know we're talking off air before, the amount of clearing that you do on your property, you know.
Yeah, and I mean... And I'm sort of clearing on low level stuff more so than that. You know, we've got trees that are 120 metres tall on our place, And so, you know, it's, if it gets into a canopy fire situation, yes, it just creates a whole lot more stress. But around our house, you know, we're doing a lot to clear, try and, you know, not destroy the garden, but make it so it's sort of nice and usable and all the rest of it. But, yeah, I just wonder sometimes whether we do get too complacent, whether our fire plans are in place and checked properly. And, you know, and I mean, we're probably representative of the average person in that we have a fire plan in our heads. We know exactly when we're leaving. We know exactly what we're taking. We know what things are going to happen and what doesn't. So when it gets to a certain point, I just go and hook the car up to the camper and off I go, so that if we do get a fire, we've got a bed somewhere. But not ideal, but, you know, that's the best thing. You know, we talk about our animals and what we do, and unfortunately we will fit the dog in well, but if I have to try and catch chooks and ducks, the time it could take me to catch the chooks and ducks could well be the time I lose my life. And so we've had to make hard calls on what animals we can take and what we can't take, and the stress levels, especially with the chooks, because they die at the drop of a hat. You know, if they get big fright, they'll disappear. So, you know, it's there's so many things to do. And I'd say we're very typical of the average people out there, in that we've got all this in place, but we haven't written it down. We haven't put a note on the door to say, have you done this? Check.
In an extremely stressful situation, you know. When it's all happening, you know, there's that many people I know that they lost their houses because, you know, their pumps caught on fire.
Yes.
You know, during it. So they're going through and doing everything right and everything was going well, and then you don't have water pumping out there, you know, you can't fight it, and then you know, the embers get in under the eaves, and then, you know, the house is up, you know.
Yep. Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, we've got builders at home at the moment, and there's a couple of eave areas that I've said to them, look, you know, can we get up there and fix that sheeting, please, and do this? And, you know, we've had people come around and say, look, this is an extremely defensible area just here at this part of the house, as long as you've got the right pump. And it's like, well, we've only got electric pumps. Once the power's gone, we're in trouble. I could get a generator to run them, but it'd have to be a reasonable size generator to put any sort of impact into it. But again, you know, having your plan is so important to just know what you're going to do. You know, Jane and I have talked about it a lot. I mean, we drove up to Mansfield the other day and we were talking about it, and pretty much the whole way up there, we've written our lists down, but we haven't gone to that extent of dealing with it. We're still dealing with what face masks to get, and that's the other thing, you know. We know if we get stuck there, we should have them, and so that's a part of what we're looking at, and we don't know which one's good, which one's bad, so... That's something I've got to contact our local CFA people and have a chat to them and say, what do you recommend?
You definitely get that expert advice out there.
Yeah, definitely. So, it's there is so much. There is so much. But the four-wheel drive clubs, just going back to what you were saying...
we never get sidetracked or away from topic, do we?
No, never. The thing is, we like talking too much, both of us. The thing is, I love the fact that Four-Wheel Drive Victoria has made such a massive push into looking after the environment, getting clubs online, getting them taught properly, getting them responsible. And really, it is only a few people that mess it up for everybody. But I've always been very proud of the fact that, and I know, you know, I've seen some of your photos when you go and pull cars out of lakes and, you know, stuff like that, that there are people in the community, in the four-wheel drive community, that do so much, and that yet the community don't always see that. All they see is the nasty side of what people do.
And a lot of it, I guess, I was on the board of Four-Wheel Drive Victoria immediately after the fires, and just I got to see a lot firsthand about what the clubs did, and, you know, there's so many people coming to the office, what can we do to help? And, you know, a lot of that was just going and, you know, cleaning up all the barbed wire fences, you know, around people's properties. You know, imagine how much fencing was actually gone out of that fire. So going and cleaning it up and then restringing fences up there, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a lot of that volunteer, and there's a lot of gear donated, a lot of time that goes through and goes out and does that, you know. And it was, you know, as the four-wheel drive community, what can we do to go out and help these people? What's the best thing that we can do with our skill sets and amounts of people and what we've got? You know, we can go in and do that. You know, there's a lot of clearing trucks, there's a lot of clearing properties, you know, clearing, and to go and help, and, you know, the management vehicle trucks, we go and clear tracks all year round for them and work with the rangers, because the rangers only got so much budget and time and resource.
Exactly, yeah.
So the same kind of thing, we're helping all year round on those management vehicle tracks that they need for the fire tankers to get down. And for other reasons, you know, when they're doing that, and so much was done.
Yeah, well, one of the things that I was putting my hand up, it was about, would have been about eight and a half years ago, roughly. It was about a year and a half after the fires. The Four Drive Victoria were doing chainsaw courses, and we were down in Strathuon working out of the schoolroom there, and then we're working on people's properties and cutting up timber and doing bits and pieces as a part of the course that we were doing. And you know, it's just tying in little things like that where I put both my boys, I did it and did photography and stuff, where I put both boys through how to use chainsaws. They're both confident enough to use them if they have to, so there's a skill set they get. We get to meet the rangers and people that own the properties, and we were helping cut stuff off their properties and bits and pieces. So just a little thing like that just ties in this with that, and you know, it is amazing how many community groups got in and actually helped, you know, not just four-wheel drivers but communities across the board.
Oh, everything there too. And you know, it was, you know, understanding what people needed. You know, there was plenty of tins, food donated and stuff, but you know,
how many can openers were there?
Can openers and things like that too, but you know, it's understanding what people are going to need in their, you know, times. I mean, people have got nothing to stand up in. They want to go and honour the people, you know. They needed suits for funerals. They needed good clothes for funerals. There was handbags. There's all kinds of things that you'd never think of. Mm. If you don't have anything, you know, and they still want to go and you know, to go and honour people's memories, you want to go there and put your best, you know, present well at a funeral. It didn't matter, you know, if you're there to present it, but, you know, if there's stuff there to be able to go and do that.
And yeah, and it gives, it's a sense of pride for people too, isn't it? You know, you again, it's about being respectful, and that's obviously what we're trying to be, is very respectful. So, all right, well, it is 2:44 p.m. Bit of James Blundell and James Rain way out west, and we'll come back and we'll continue the discussion.
Might
and
some segue into some weather spots after that.
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, well, you know, we are running up to that 3 o'clock news, so hopefully I will have it playing correctly this time. All right, this is Ant-Man, and it's Ant-Man's RV and 4x4 show here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
Got a job with a company you're driven for, just to make some change, living and working on the land. I quit my job and I left my wife, headed out west for a brand new life, just to get away, living and working on the land. So cheap, living and working on the land. Working on.
Yarra Valley FM 99.1 is conducting free radio presenter courses for anyone interested in becoming a radio presenter or panel operator. However, if presenting is not for you, we're also looking for volunteers to get involved behind the scenes in the areas of office assistance, recording of community service announcements, fundraising and sponsorship, as well as setup and attendance at our outside broadcasts. If you are interested in becoming a part of the Yarra Valley FM 99.1 team, please email info@yarravalleyfm.com for more information.
Or you, yes you. Here at Yarra Valley FM, we like hearing feedback from you, the listener. If you have heard something that you've really liked on our shows, please feel free to email us at info@yarravalleyfm.com. Our presenters are waiting not only to hear feedback from you, but to also improve our shows for the future and beyond.
It's 2:49. We're going to be racing up to the 3 o'clock news, acknowledging one of our listeners contacting me on the Facebook page to say that they've been up camping at Valley Farm.
Yeah, it was amazing, that property. You know, we were talking about it off-air earlier, that some club members, there was an inter-club cricket match that had been going for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And my son, who's now almost as tall as me, he was only a toddler at the time, and they said, "Are you going to come up to that?" And I said, "There's no way known I'm going up there with, you know, looking at the weather conditions and the temperature and everything else up there on the day." But the club members there, and they actually stayed, evacuated everyone, and, you know, three or four guys actually stayed, and they fought everything on the property and protected the homestead and got everything else there through too. But everything was a mess up there, and everything was gone pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing. It seriously is. So, but, you know, we talked about before, as you said, about weather. We are certainly a country of extremes. I mean, I got friends of mine down in Tassie that have been posting photos of the fires down there, and OMG, that is frightening. I mean, we both spent a lot of time down in Tassie. You know, got good friends down there that belong to the four-wheel drive clubs, and again, talk about clubs that do a lot of work for their tracks and all the rest of it. But it's amazing how much is burnt. It's frightening.
Oh, it is too, and I've been looking at it, and, you know, looking at running a vehicle launch down there, you know, towards the end of the year, and I'm really looking at that at the moment, where I can go and what I can do, and you know, and just staying away from down there at the moment till everything subsides, and I've got a plan and put my planning hat on what I can do down there.
Yeah, because it's amazing, and I mean, a lot of it is forested areas, and because I guess Tassie's not used to being that dry.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff lying on the ground. It's normally wet, normally doesn't go off. And, you know, one of our good friends, Annie, her family down in Tassie have been evacuated, and they've been dealing with the smoke and, you know, all this sort of stuff. And then the other half of her family live in Townsville. And, of course, one end of the country to the other, and you've got the most amazing floods. And you've got to feel for them up there, because...
And they're no stranger to big deluges up there. And, you know, they're saying it's once in 100 years. It's absolutely...
phenomenal.
Yeah, you know, like build an ark type stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it is. I mean, they, you know, they had 100 and... I think they said 150 mil in an hour and a half or something last week.
Yeah, and was it almost a 1,200 mil or something I read somewhere over the week or something?
What
can cope with that amount of water?
I don't think anything can cope with that amount of water, and they haven't coped. I mean, you know, I guess if you have to make a choice between fire and flood, my goodness, you know, water just destroys so much. I mean, I guess at the end of the day, fire's not that great, but it's clean to a point, whereas water, you know, I just feel for them with what they're having to clean out. They don't know what they're doing. The insurance, they were talking on the radio this morning, 80 million already, something, wow. Some ridiculous figure like that.
And it's when you check your policies, and those, you know, acts of God aren't covered, and what is it? You know?
Well, that's it. You know, there's a whole nother job on just insurance discussion, really. But yeah, so you've got to feel for them. You know, wake up and you've got crocodiles, you know, sleeping in your trees. You know, that photo was just amazing. And I mean, you know, what I think is really interesting is where all the snakes, the spiders, and the, you know, the critters that run around on the ground, where do they go in a flood? You know, they'll... I actually don't know. It'd be really interesting to see. I mean, you know, a lot of things will get up trees, obviously.
Yeah.
But that's a hell of a lot of animals. I mean, you know, there was a... On Landline yesterday, listening to that, there was a farmer talking about the fact that all this flood's come down north and they needed the rain, and it started really well and it absorbed in and all the rest of it, and then suddenly it's all just washed down, and they can't even drive on their property to get out and check stock. They can't get copters in the air because the winds are too strong. They're, you know, 90 to 100 plus kilometre an hour winds.
And did you see there was a guy on a tinny like, rescuing kangaroos the other day?
I did see a snippet of that.
And that's one of the last things. You know, last thing you want is Skippy in the boat with you normally. You know, they kind of kick and thrash a little bit, you know, but they're doing that. But that shows you that spirit we were talking about before, you know, as people that are, you know, in tune with the bush, getting out there to do things. And, you know, another one of our mates, Hobbsy, was up out at Cobar the other day, and, you know, he's giving water to a kangaroo, and it actually ended up on the news in the US.
No, really?
Yeah, they're actually, because it's that hot up there, you know, it's 50, you know, 50-odd degrees in the shade, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, an animal that never come anywhere near you, especially in those conditions, you know, they're in there looking for water, you know?
Yeah, and that whole area, you know, we had a big discussion with Mark and Matt from ARB the other week, and we were talking about the Murray-Darling, because they spend a lot of time up in that area, personally and with work, and as you know, and the whole fish debacle and the water debacle and the fact that they're still not admitting that they've messed up, and you know they're taking some fish out and they're going to move it, you know, 3 hours down the road in a special tank. Well, you know, they're in shock they're going to die. You know, it's like, you know, and that's why the comment about what happens to all the animals, all the smaller animals, you know, your snakes, your spiders, your wombats, and you know, things that where would they go in the case of a flood like Townsville? Because it, again, you know, it's just amazing. I mean, we are such a land of
diversity
and all that sort of stuff, and you just think, what do? And you just got to feel for people, because
especially with how inhospitable the majority of our land is, you know, what percentage where you can actually live, and then a fire or a flood takes out the rest of it.
Yeah? Exactly. So, well, while we're on that note, we're going to go to Ice House, Great Southern Land, because we still are a pretty amazing place
swap
to
it
be.
For the world, though, Ant.
No, I wouldn't actually. I think we still live in the best country in the world. So, it is 2:56. Ice House, Great Southern Land. We'll be back after the 3 o'clock news, and enjoy.
Like a runaway lost at sea, a city on a
listening to Ant-Man, and it's Ant-Man's RV and 4x4 show here on Yarra Valley FM. It's 10 past 3. We've got Jason Locke, Mr. Full Drive and sort of touring guru. Now, Jason, the other week I had a phone call from a listener, and the phone call was about the fact that he wanted to know if he should remove his snorkel or not, because he was getting too much dust into the air filter and meant he had to deal with it. And we had a bit of a chat, but I'm giving you what he posed to me.
Yep.
So I want you to sort of, I guess, explain what a snorkel is and what you do with it. You brought back a fantastic memory of you floating down a river at one point, and the only thing that saved the car really was the snorkel because it was still running.
It might have been the install and the amount of work on a competition vehicle as well, which is a little bit different than what the majority of vehicles have. That was an awful lot of work on that Nissan Patrol to make sure it was watertight, and we had water over our legs in the cab, and we're floating around. And I can't wait. We need to find your photos of that, Ant. That was a fun old day. But we survived, and the car got out, which is a really good example of what a snorkel does. But I guess how a snorkel actually did come about right back in the start was it's a raised air intake. So a factory... we'll always call, like the car manufacturer will call them a raised air intake, they won't call them a snorkel.
Mm-hmm.
And they won't increase the wading depth that they rate the vehicle with by the air intake. So a lot of vehicles might have the snorkel on the outside of the car, but they'll still let dust in or water in, anything else like that too. So there's two things why you'd fit a snorkel. I guess three reasons really. Number one is to get cooler, cleaner air. The air's a lot cooler. Yeah. If you could put your hand down near a bitumen road out on a hot day, even out today, we went out the front there onto out onto the highway out the front there, the road's radiating heat.
Yep.
So the higher you go up, the cooler the air gets less dust as it gets higher up away from the road, so you actually get cleaner air into your vehicle. So even cars without snorkels get a lot of dirt into their air cleaners, but there's things that you can put on there. You run the old Donaldson air cleaners on some of the snorkels, on the earlier snorkels, which is the pre-filtering, you know, the big bowl, looks like a salad bowl up on the top.
I would have said a flying saucer, but hey,
flying saucer,
you know.
Salad bowl, you know.
Whatever.
It depends what you're into, you know. And so they're not designed to go over 80 kilometres an hour. And when you actually read them from the manufacturer's specs, they won't flow enough air. But if you're in a convoy, and you'll see them on mining vehicles and farm vehicles will run an air cleaner like that, so it's a secondary air cleaner, to get rid of the dirt before it gets into your primary air cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
So, brilliant idea. You know, you might find you might seem to get more dirt in, but you're probably getting that anyway out of the air intake out of the vehicle.
Yep.
So there's a lot of things, you know, I'm all for it. All of my vehicles have actually got a snorkel or a raised air intake. There's lots of preparation on them to make sure they can run underwater too, you know. And you have a look at an Army Unimog, one of the older ones, like an 80s Unimog, they actually spend about 4 hours waterproofing their car before their vehicle before they do a river crossing. So it's not just the air intake, you know. It's water into electronics, it's water into the diffs and the mechanicals and everything else there as well. So.
Yeah, well, I guess that's the other thing. I mean, you know, if you want to remove a snorkel, you're going to be left with a hole in the guard that you have to effectively fix.
Yeah, it depends on what vehicle it is and that too. There's even some of the people take the manufacturer's raised air intake off to put a snorkel on because you get better airflow out of it as well. The aftermarket, you know, do a different job for what we need in this country rather than worldwide as well too. Yeah, so
exactly.
I still believe 99.9% of the times a snorkel or a raised air intake will result in less dust into the air filter, better protection for the car, better cleaner air, no real reasons not to have it. You know, you might get some more intake noise or some wind noise on it from on the outside of the vehicle, but
what
we're doing with their vehicles and pushing those big boxes down the air, down the road, you know, I'd always advocate to have one.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that, you know, one of the comments that was made was, if you're travelling in convoy, you know, you get a lot of dust. Well, if you're travelling in convoy, hang back out of the dust.
Yeah, trying to do that. You want to see the dust fall and do that and, you know, be able to see out the windscreen.
See out the windscreen, exactly. And the other thing that I do, and I did offer this piece of advice to the gentleman that rang, was I take a spare air cleaner with me.
Mm-hmm.
So when I start the trip, I've generally got a clean one to start with. I'll go and do my trip and I'll bang it out every couple of days if it's particularly dusty. But then when I'm ready to head home, and I might be travelling by myself to head home, which is generally what happens, just whip the old one out, put a brand new one straight in and then drive home like that.
A lot cheaper than an engine. You know, if you dust an engine, getting it through there too. And I guess it depends on the vehicle. Some of the vehicles have got probably an air cleaner that's too small for the vehicles, going in there too. So they're actually prone to getting dirtier there as well. But you can get pre-filters to go in the snorkel. You can get ones that clip over the head of the snorkel. You can face the snorkel head backwards on some vehicles to turn around. There's lots of options.
Yeah.
Just do it. But, I'd always advocate, I've only been doing this 25-odd years, and I've always usually seen a cleaner air filter from having it out there as well, and use your onboard compressor to clean it out if you have to, clean out your air cleaner.
Yeah, or the old mechanic trick is just bang it up against the tyre and, get it out. You can get by, and it's still safer. I mean, I helped recover a 100 series that had just had a 6.5-litre conversion on it, and it was absolutely smick. The conversion was brilliant. The car looked good. Everything was working well. And we went through this one river crossing where it was tricky. It was deep. It was tricky. And he didn't want to tarp up things and, didn't have a snorkel because he reckoned that, for the $600 or $800 to fit one was, just going to make it look ugly. And sucked in a belly full of water, and then we had to skull drag him out the other side. Then we had to turn him around and actually bring him out, because where we were going to go, it was going to be really hard four-wheel drive tracks, and there's no way you could tow a car through it. So we actually had to set up two vehicles, one on each side of the river with winches, and as one was winching, the other one was basically letting the winch out so that they could roll together to stop the back end from disappearing down the river.
And that's full on. And we were talking about with the floods before, the force of that water is the things that are happening there too. Mm. Trying to get a something that can't move under its own power, not a good thing to do, and puts everything else at risk, doesn't it?
Well, it does, and it's I find it hysterical, and I do, the amount of cars that go through flooded water.
Yeah, now, I just saw there was a police car the other day I saw in flooded water.
Flooded water.
Let alone those guys, there's a fire truck a few years ago here in floods, and all those firefighters, I think they're all doing something else for a job now.
Yeah, I mean, but they weren't in that deep. Yeah. But the fact that they were in, I guess, was the issue. But sometimes, you've got to get off. You might be in a situation, you have to get through, you've got to do this. And the typical response that's always been taught in the full drive side of things is, if you can't walk that river, don't put your car in it. And it doesn't matter whether it's 20 mil or a metre deep.
Yeah. And everything you do, it's a risk assessment. Do I really need to go? Mm. When you go there, you're looking at that stuff. And no matter what we're doing, four-wheel driving, caravanning, driving down the road, it's a risk assessment as you're driving down. Mm. You've got to make that risk assessment. Are you going to put your property and your life and your family's life and everyone else in the community's life at risk? Do you really need to go across there and do that?
Mm.
What happens if it does go wrong? Mm-hmm. Looking at, what's your exit plan? How are you going to do this? Are you going to exit? Thinking about opening the driver's door on the downside, which is what we actually had to do in Tasmania.
Mm-hmm.
We had to open the door to get water in the car to get the wheels back down on the ground. The car was floating and spinning around in the river, and it was definitely one of those places where we shouldn't have been in that situation and put it in there. And some very experienced fellas standing around there. Between us, there's a couple hundred years of full drive industry experience.
Yep.
And,
and I was the bunny behind the camera.
Yeah, you're the smart one behind the camera looking at everything. And the car's floating. The only reason I knew that the water was on the actual wheels were touching the ground because the revs dropped.
Mm.
So my feet were off the pedals. The car's idling. Both deflocks are in. I'm looking at the taco. And once the revs dropped, and actually Dave Easter, one of the grandfathers of the four-wheel drive movement in Victoria, was the owner of Valley Farm, and actually taught me that many years ago. The only reason that you knew that the car, and he was filming an advert at the time for a snorkel company, and there's really good footage of it, and there's a jackaroo floating around in circles, and this car did exactly this in a very fast flowing river in Tassie. So we're very lucky we got out of there, but it was all in car preparation and experience. And if in hindsight, would I have done that again? Nope.
Mm.
Definitely not. It was too dangerous. But and getting back to the story, the revs actually dropped on the car, so I could actually tell that the car was on the ground, and I floored it, and we drove up the bank, and thousands of litres of water seemed to come out. There was a lot of water came out of the car. Mm. And even
and that was a ute too.
That was a ute, yeah.
You know, imagine if it was a wagon.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
I think it might, you know, would have been very different what had happened. But
because
that's what we advocate even now in driver training. When you do a river crossing, stop, let all the water run out. You know, on average, on a modern vehicle, you get about 80 litres of water into all the chassis rails and everything else there too. So when you stop after doing a river crossing and you hear all the water come out and it comes out of the doors and it comes out from under the car, the amount of water that goes up the track and then makes the exit hard for people to get out and get stuck, you don't want to do the environmental damage as well.
Mm.
So stopping, letting the water run out.
Small little thing, but something
that... Yeah, it's a little thing there too, but leave the water on the bank and let it get back in the river and, you know, advocating not driving to create bow waves anymore. You want to drive a lot slower because the electrics that stops the car. It's not water into the intakes and everything else there too, but you're also mindful of the environment, you know. That rare frog or anything in the side of the river or the ducks that have got their where they live on the side of the thing, you know, not damaging the, you know,
the environment, yeah.
Environment and so it's very different.
Responsible four-wheel driving, yeah.
I sound all grown up and stuff, Ant, yeah.
I know. We both come from the competition scene. We both understand that a lot of where we've done competition, if you went back there today, you wouldn't even know. Because even with our competitions here in Australia, there's always been an element of looking after the environment. Whereas, as we know, over in Malaysia, when we've been over for rainforest challenges and stuff like that, you know, they didn't care about the environment. They just, you know, they'd just drive in and wash their car in the water with normal soap and stuff like that. And
yeah, it's lovely, and it's leave it better than you found it. And that's the same as clearing from, you know, same as clearing a tree that's blocking a track or a road. We just get there and do that.
Mm.
You know, you try and leave it better than what you do. Take rubbish out. You know, we always.
But you're not one of these people that drives around in a Suzuki and cuts the width of the tree for the Suzuki, and then no one else can get through. How many times have you come up against that where someone's just cut enough to get the one car through and it's a small car?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then you know there's no way you're going to get your 60 or your 80 or your 100 or a 200 series through the same spot.
Any vehicle out there, but clear it right across the road because you don't know what's going to happen and people come around, it can be dusty and, you know, last thing you want is a square cut off tree coming across the road, you know.
Well,
how much
it.
Extra does it take it to clear the whole road and the drainage ditch on the way out of it?
Yeah, it's not. But, you know, a lot of people don't often carry chainsaws because they're not licensed to, you know.
Yeah.
I'm lucky I'm licensed to carry a chainsaw in a national park because I've done the training. But, you know, very rarely have I done it.
You can do that too, but, you know, you carry a bow saw. You can do that too and do that. Use the vehicle to get it out there, clear the tracks, make it better.
Mm.
Makes it easy for the fire truck to get down there, doesn't it?
Well, that's it if they need to. That's it for sure. All right, so this is Atman's RV and 4x4 show here on Yarra Valley FM. We're going to go to a bit of Eurogliders, the city of Seoul. We'll take us up to the 3:30 local news, and then we'll be back after that for a bit more of a chat. And so it is 3:23 p.m.
Still 1985. even when the nights are cold. Here in Philadelphia, they sing their song. We don't let our hair down when it gets hot above, 'cause nothing ever happens in the city of love. But mister, let me tell you that 11 people died, and Copper, understand this is still 1985. Sometimes you can't.
Dumb and Chernside Park, your cooling specialist. The best air conditioning deals on all the best brands. Deals like Rinnai split system air conditioners from only $599. We can even arrange installation. 18 months interest free on air conditioning. No deposit, no interest and no payments. Approved applicants only. Minimum financed amount $500. Interest applies if you do not comply with terms and conditions. Fees and exclusions apply. See website for details. Massive range, the latest models, the convenience of portable ACs and fans to suit every need. Now at station sponsor Harvey Norman, Chernside Park.
Go!
Outlook Windows and Colonial Woodworks have serviced the Yarra Valley and beyond for the past 22 years, making made-to-measure timber, aluminium windows and doors, single and double glazed, also security, Invisiguard doors and fly screens. They also reproduce old-fashioned windows and doors, as well as furniture from reclaimed timbers. Call Peter on 1800 622 544 for Outlook Windows and Colonial Woodworks. Station sponsor.
Lilydale LDV has arrived. Come down and see the new T60 4x4 turbo diesel dual cap. It's the perfect tradie vehicle with its tough built 3-tonne towing capacity and 5-star ANCAP safety rating to take you anywhere. The T60 comes with a 5-year warranty from just $28,990 drive away for ABN buyers. Come and test drive at Lilydale LDV today. Visit our showroom at 25 Anderson Street, Lilydale, or call us on 9975 7222. LilydaleLDV.com.au. Station sponsor.
Summer means picnics, beach days, and barbies. But when the weather heats up, keep cool with these simple tips. Drink more water and keep a bottle with you at all times. Stay indoors, close curtains and blinds, and use a fan or air conditioner. Wear loose, light-coloured clothing. And check in on older or unwell family and friends. Visit betterhealth.vic.gov.au to find out more. Authorised by the Victorian Government, Melbourne. Spoken by Danny O'Grady.
Station sponsor.
Yarra Valley FM, local news.
I'm David Oaten with Yarra Valley FM 99.1 local news. With the peak of the summer heat upon us, the CFA is reminding residents to have fire plans ready to act on. CFA District 13 Operations Manager David Rankin said with temperatures soaring to more than 40 degrees in some areas, now is the time to be prepared to keep you and your family safe. Mr. Rankin said the recent hot stretch of weather had dried up the area, including the Yarra Ranges, Knox and Maroondah. Make sure there is somewhere safe your family can go, he said. Police are looking for anyone with information on a bicycle stolen from Chernside Park. A Giant Rain mountain bike was stolen from inside a van parked outside a Circle Ridge property on Thursday, January the 17th. Anyone with information about the theft or the location of the bike should phone Moorabbin Police on 9725 9999. The Highway Patrol is reminding drivers they must not use a trailer unless it is in a safe and roadworthy condition. A four-wheel drive driver was stopped after police noticed a severe vibration on one of the wheels of the trailer. Officers discovered a large piece of the trailer's tyre tread was missing. Police also said the number plate of the four-wheel drive was not able to be seen. The penalty for using an unsafe vehicle is $403 and for not displaying a number plate, $161 and 3 demerit points. Authorities are warning residents to monitor air conditioners after a rise in fires. Firefighters responded to an average of 42 incidents involving air conditioners, fans and evaporative coolers each summer in the past 3 years. MFB Assistant Chief Fire Officer Trent Curtin said that poor maintenance, damaged or faulty wiring and connections, and clutter were among the top causes of air conditioning fires. Police are reminding drivers to slow down and follow the 40 km per hour speed limit in school zones, with students returning after school holidays. Victoria Police will be patrolling around school zones which have reduced speed limits during peak times, including 8 to 9:30 a.m. and 2:30 p.m. to 4. Police are warning about a new version of an old tax scam doing the rounds. Scammers phone claiming they are from the tax department and tell people they owe a tax debt. Someone claiming to be an Australian Federal Police officer then phones and warns you'll be arrested unless you pay the fine. The AFP never requests payment of fines over the phone. Details from scamwatch.gov.au. That's the news from the Yarra Valley. I'm David Oaten.
In conjunction with the Mail and Leader newspapers, that's Yarra Valley FM local news.
And it's 3:33 here at Yarra Valley FM 99.1. This is Ant-Man, and it's Ant-Man's RV and 4x4 show. We've been having a very in-depth chat about a whole lot of stuff with Jason Locke. It's been a bit of an interesting discussion. We've covered a lot of territory.
We always do, Anne. You know, we seem to go off on a tangent sometimes, or like the sound of our own voices.
Well,
the listeners seem to like it. We're getting lots of social media feedback. Yes. We've got a good face for radio and things like that too. That bloke better look in a mirror, I think.
Yeah, well, I did look at that and thought the pot calling the kettle black very nicely, I reckon. But who am I to judge? But
I don't have purple hair. I'm okay. Yeah,
well, that's it. You've still got some hair. I know it's getting a bit thin on top.
Have you looked in the mirror lately too, Ant?
Yeah, yeah.
Those headphones might be covering that bald spot.
I reckon. No, it's more definitely receding. But no, it all comes from wearing a hat, you see. I reckon that's what does it. Just rubs your hair off your head. So that's my excuse. I'm
good
sticking
excuse.
To it.
You better stick to that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm outside a lot, so I've got to wear a hat. But yeah, look, talking about social media and all that sort of stuff, if you want to get a message to me or ask questions about four-wheel driving, caravanning, that sort of stuff, Ant-Man's RV and 4x4 show is on Facebook. And so you can look that up and join the team. You can email info@yarravalleyfm.com. And they will pass on any emails across to me. And, of course, there's a lot of info at www.yarravalleyfm.com. So, and, of course, you know, you can always ring in if I'm not talking on 5961 5991. If you've got a question or something like that, we might not get to it today because we're sort
and
of
the previous episodes there too. I've been listening to a few of the episodes of Mitch missed when I've been working in a state.
So we've got our podcasts up. So yes, you can listen to podcasts and there's a whole lot of really really good shows on you know here at the station and people worth listening to and you know it's all good. We try and cater for everybody. We try. So we just before the break, we were talking about our river crossing stories, and I was just recounting to Jason about I was on a Pajero launch a long time ago, and we went in to do a cover shoot, and I drove this thing into the water and lost traction and started floating down the river before I got a bit of traction. And that's before they have snorkel or raised air intake systems. But the other one, because we both come from a competition background, you'll appreciate this at doing events at, you know, all night. And you come up to a river crossing and it's black and you're black and you know you've got to go through there. And there was one night we disappeared in and the water came up to within about 2 inches of the snorkel.
Yeah, the top, when that tinted band on the top of the windscreen is your watermark.
Yes. That's when you know you're in a bit of trouble. And we did that too, yeah, once before. We had the kids in the car. We're doing a snow trip and we'll come back on that same one that the car flooded itself and decided to implode, where we're actually driving along and the water was halfway up the windscreen. But again, we know what we're doing. We knew, you know, we knew what the track was. It had a good bottom, so it wasn't really dangerous, but it was, you know, it was still flowing.
Yeah, but you're also doing your risk assessment there too. It's like, you know, opening the doors on the downside, you know, what's going to happen if it does go wrong, you know, doing water blinds, all kinds of different stuff. And, you know, I've been caught Donnelly's Creek, you know, back at Walhalla.
Yep.
You know, normally, you know, you step across it, you know. After a long weekend, it was a Queen's birthday weekend, so, and everything had flooded, and, you know, there was ended up being four cars. We were tied together, and the first car somehow managed to get across, and the second car, I was the third car, and we put a blind up on the front of it, and, you know, snatch traps between the cars, and, you know, we got out of there, but, you know, I left the fresh air vent open. You know, I didn't put on to recirculate, so got through the other side and go, well, that's good. You know, we, you know, put wallets and, you know, things up in the console up the top, make sure everything is away, everything you can do.
That's a really good point for people. If you're going to go out doing crossings, water crossings and stuff, put your gear up high.
Yeah.
You know, as whatever you can, put it up high, you know, get it into your club boxes and on your dash or whatever, because you don't want to carry big stuff on your dash for obvious reasons, but get it up out of the way.
I was like, in that car, I had a console for the radios up top, so we put our wallets up there just in case, but didn't close the fresh air vent, and we ended up across the other side of the river. We're out on the other side, and we're high-fiving each other, congratulating ourselves on how good it is, and end up with a lap full of water.
But, and remember the old cruisers and stuff that had the vent that was a manual vent that would open up on the sides?
On the sides, and how good were they for cooling your feet in those cars, and how hot the floors were.
Exactly,
and everything
else like that.
I had people ask, you know, is that where the snorkel goes, and that connects it, you know, and much air, and the old Land Rovers that had the vents under the windscreen that open up like that, the fresh air vent, and it gets through like that too, you know?
Yeah, and they were all, I mean, they were all designed for a purpose,
yeah,
but they weren't technically waterproof sometimes.
Definitely not. it's just amazing what you can get through and what you can do, but would you risk it now, and how complex vehicles are and the electronics that are in things, you know? I've been doing a vehicle launch and got water in a car, and the windows started going up and down, the wipers start going, yeah? And as a, you know, pre-production car, and we found out what the problem was that, but water into the body control modules and can really upset your day, and that was a good recovery to get that back, and we got it out of there, as you and I always seem to do, yeah? You don't leave anyone there and you get people out, but, you know, do we really need to go in that water? Do we need to go and do that? You know, do you want to put everything at risk and, you know, wreck your trip? You know, and you see that too. You know, you might be on a trip, you know, going to the Cape or something else like that, and you see the people going into gunshot and stuff like that too. Do you really need to go and do it?
Do you
take the bypass route? You know?
Yep.
Do you watch other people go and do it? You know, you've really got to think and do that risk assessment yet again.
Well, that's interesting, because I actually saw some video footage the other day of someone having a crack at gunshot on the way up, and they just, for whatever reason, drove up on the bank rather than down in the tyre track. So you know how it's quite cut quite deeply. And the video clearly shows them going too far wide. No one was obviously guiding them or saying, you know, come down here because you drop off, and ended up rolling into gunshot on their side.
Wow.
So went side, roof, slide, and then back
That's a way to wreck your holiday and your once in a lifetime adventure, isn't it?
For and on the way up.
Yeah.
You know, I've always been a big believer, and I said this to a caravan guy once. You know, we were on a shoot, and he's going, "Oh, I want to take it through the boghole," and he had his big F-150 thing, and he had the big off-road caravan, and he wanted to take it through. And I said, "Mate, let's just do all the shoot first.
Yeah,
we'll get what we need, get all the drive shots, and then you can play in the mud hole if you really, really want to." And he did. And he got the shock of his life when the Effie disappeared into the hole before anything else happened.
Oops.
So the Effie went in, and next thing you know, it was halfway up the wheels on the Effie. And he was committed. And he went to back off, and I'm going, "Don't back off. You got it. You go." And he skull dragged the caravan through and ripped the step off and got it all muddy and all the rest of it. And, you know, the people, they loved the shot. Because I was obviously photographing at the same time.
Your shot, of course. Everyone always loves your shot, Ant. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was photographing, of course, and he got through, but did a bit of damage, and they weren't very happy with him. But they got a really nice shot of this Effie disappearing into a hole with a caravan on the back. So the advice of risk assessment is probably one that we don't really talk about enough. You know, it's certainly something I haven't really talked about on the show before. Assessing every situation, what you do here, what do you do there, and instead of what we would do in the old days, and that's, "Oh, yeah, that's Rocky Track, let's just go up it." Well, of course we need to go, and you get to the top and you turn around, "Well, now I've got to go back." But, there's things that happen sometimes where you do get to the top of a track somewhere and you do have to turn around and come back, and that's, you just go, "Well, we obviously didn't plan that one particularly well." But
it's doing that, and it's having the skills to be able to do that too. And I guess you look at that, you know what you can do and what your vehicle can do because you've learned it and done that. With training commercially or with clubs or whatever, or just from the people you go out with, there, look and learn.
Mm. Yeah, look and learn. All right, so we've got a bit of Cole Chisel, K-San. This is in memory of my dog that was called K-San. He was gorgeous. So we'll be back after that, sort of getting ready to close up the show. This is Ant-Man and Ant-Man's RV and 4x4 show, dealing with risk assessment when four-wheel driving. But anyway, bit of Cole Chisel, K-San.
And it's only other vets could understand. About the long forgotten dockside guarantees. How there were no V-Day heroes in 1973. How we sailed into Sydney Harbor. I saw an old friend brought a cooler to kiss her. She was lying and I was home to the lucky land. Yeah.
fires can threaten life and property, but the humble LPG cylinder is designed to survive a fire if it is correctly installed and prepared. The LPG Association should leave the cylinder where it has been installed and leave the bottle or cylinder in an upright position. You should ensure it is secure. Any LPG bottles attached to a wooden frame barbecue should be placed on a solid base, and you should remove any combustible material surrounding the bottle. The LPG is a hazard to firefighters. You should never lay any cylinders on their side, and you should never cover a gas cylinder with wet material to keep it cool, because the Australian LPG Association and Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
And very... this is Ant-Man. It's Ant-Man's RBM 4x4 show. I'm just going to read out a community studies. Upper Yarra Youth Events Team present Tender Tonalities and Mysterious Melodies, a launch event for the River Folk Festival 2019, featuring international and national performers created, managed and run entirely by young locals. 6 to 10pm, Saturday the 16th of Feb, St Mary's Church, 3360 Warburton Highway, Warburton. Tickets are pay at the event, $25 for adults, $15 concession, under 18 free. For further info, contact Bear and Moon Productions at gmail.com. So again, another interesting community service announcement there. All right, so what's on the horizon for you, Mr. Lockie? What's going on?
Oh, we'll keep living our life, doing lots of four-wheel driving and caravan events around the country, and some vehicle launches, some more training, and helping quite a few companies do a bit of consulting now on four-wheel drive products still.
Yep. So, yep. So there's always something different, isn't it?
Yeah, it doesn't stop. I've been pretty lucky, learned a lot out of the industry, and been able to make a living at it for a long time, just like yourself.
Yeah, well, I think that's the thing, you know, and you know, it's nice to catch up, even though I've sort of pushed away a bit from the four-wheel drive side of things, into more caravanning and stuff. You know, my focus this year is going to be actually to swing back around and get back into a bit more four-wheel driving and touring. It's just that, you know, life gets in the way. You've got kids, you got this, you got that, and you know, my daughter's getting married next year, so we're off to America. So I'm gonna try and hire a couple of muscle cars and go for a wander through Route 66.
What Mopar are you going to get to live back your glory days?
Or I'd like to get a Dodge Challenger or something like that. Just, yeah.
Got to have a Hemi.
Yeah, it's, you know, I started life, you know, my first V8 was a 770 Chrysler two-door with a 318 Fireball motor in it and auto and lowered, and it was a great car, loved it, fun car. But, yeah, so we're sort of looking at that, and my son's really keen to do that as well, so we're sort of looking at pricing for getting cars and bits and pieces and go and do Route 66 and have a bit of fun.
A little birdie told me that you, one of your project cars, your son might be getting it out of the shed and trying to fire it up as well.
Yeah, he's keen. It's so it's a, he wants to get into the competition team, and so I'd like to say, yeah, look, there's the car, just have it. I can't, for obvious reasons, because then I'd have to deliver the same amount of money to all the other kids, and that would put me in debt. But no, I think he's got some very definite ideas about what he wants to do with it. He wants to take off all my orange splashes and my ants and my other bits and pieces and just take it back to just a nice, clean, white thing. But
wasn't that inconspicuous at all, was it?
No. So yeah, for listeners out there, if you can imagine an alpine white paint job with a can of Fanta opened up on the top of it, that's what it sort of looked like.
It's pretty apt. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, orange snorkel, orange wheels, it's sort of met with, you know, my business colors. So yeah, but no, he's been off getting lots of practice with four-wheel driving with his mates and touring, and being quite sensible and realizing that if he wants to keep his 80 series and do it up to the same spec, he's going to be spending a hell of a lot of money. And yes, it'll give him experience to put his own V8 in there and all that sort of stuff, but you know, when you look at the logistics, you know, you can get that from me basically for the same price of what he has to do, and just do the motor. That's not the diff locks, the gearing, the laminated diffs, the winching and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, so it's out there. It's on the way.
Some father and son teams out there again. You might have to get on the navigating side.
Yeah, I know. I mean, look, I did win a Pajero Challenge as a navigator in a stock class. So that was a bit of fun. And
I think that's on again. That event's next weekend.
It's coming up, yeah. Yeah. It's sort of something that, that's the sort of where I was going to start him. Yeah. Something like that, back into some nav runs.
It's a good navigation skill, and learn how to navigate and make your vehicle hold up together through the bush. It's some good skills, and we keep going back onto these skills and what we've done. This is how we learnt all that.
Yeah, yeah, and, driving all night and being focused on, because one of the things about Pajero Challenge, yes, it's a 24-hour event. No, it's not a speed-based event per se, but you get stopped at 2 in the morning and you have to get out of the car and you have to go for a walk because they've got a checkpoint that you walk to that's 200 metres away. So
doing a challenge or a navigational challenge or doing something. All those events have been really great, and we've made a whole lot of great friends over the years, and it's been good for both of us, hasn't it?
Oh, it has, absolutely. I don't think there's anything I've regretted about getting involved in the four-wheel drive industry. Really, when it's all said and done, I might have regretted my choice of navigator at some point or other. But you'd remember Nathan.
Yeah.
And what happened at the Outback Challenge, our first one that we were competing in. But anyway, we won't talk about that on air. But, I'll remind you about it after.
Awesome. It's a great sense, a great community. And that's the best thing about we've both been very lucky to do, both in the caravanning side and the four-wheel drive and the touring side of it. We've met a lifelong friends and industry people and colleagues have become lifelong friends. It's great.
Yeah, and even, I was always to one side of it because I was from the media. You've come from another side of it from there. But once I started actually competing and building up a truck, then people were sort of going, oh, okay, he's not just a standard media guy. He's actually building it, not him getting somebody else to build the whole lot, jobs I couldn't do, like fit the roll cage and the tubbing and all the rest of it. But, I helped put the motor in. I help put all the diffs together and on all the front end and all the rest of it. So, it's all
before
learning.
Before the sword became mightier than the spanner, before you used to make your living with spanners, not the...
Well, that's true, yes.
Not the pen, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes, I did used to make, mechanic, but that's why I could do what I do and, and, it does help when you've got a bit of mechanical knowledge with a lot of this stuff, especially if you're going to do what we do. Because how many... Yeah, anyway, we should probably have a whole other discussion just on how we managed to get cars out of places when they were broken down and, when we spat axles out and you've
got to try... Oh, that never happened to us, Ann. It was someone else, wasn't it? Unless you can pull a photo, you can't prove it. Huh?
I've got the photos. it's funny because I've taken part in a few trips and there was a guy rolled off the road when we were doing a trip with a certain tyre company and... And it was all these people, and they're all standing around, and they're carrying on, and no one was taking charge of the recovery properly. And it's just like, so I stood up and said, right, guys, stop. You do this, you do that, you get there, let's do this, and we got the car up. And then someone came up to me and said, oh, you got a bit bossy. And it's like, well, somebody has to take charge. This is the thing. It's not like I'm a bossy person at the best of times. But, sometimes you've got to raise your voice. You've got to say, no, one person in control. You do what I tell you to do, you do what I tell you to do, and we'll get the car up safely and we won't have any problems.
And that's what happens. And you need to have, someone needs to take over that natural leadership of doing that and controlling that. That's a pretty stressful situation. And we've spoken about it before. I used to have two cars that did weddings. Who do you think I got to be my drivers? It was four-wheel drivers. Because once you've seen people under a very stressful situation, they can handle Bridezilla.
Yeah, well,
so
that's
it's the same kind of thing, and it's those people from your reference points, and you really get to know someone. And a lot of the industry trips, we've both been involved on advertisers' trips over the years, and you get people from the four-wheel drive industry out there, and it doesn't matter what brand you are or what colour you're wearing, and everyone gets in there and works together. It's a great thing.
That's it. So, all right. Well, on that note, we're going to basically say our goodbyes, do a bit of Black Sorrows that'll take us through to the 4 o'clock news. Thank you very much for coming in. I appreciate your time and your effort.
Anytime, Ann. Love coming in.
It's great. No, it's excellent. To you guys and girls out there listening, have a safe week. Stay safe on the roads, and we will see you. We'll talk to you next Thursday, same time, same channel. All right. Have a great week.